We have been, rather than picking a Bible verse and doing a sermon about a Bible verse, we've been picking a book of the Bible and going step by step through the entire book. So we have been working through the book of 1 Corinthians. So a little background that'll help you understand where we are. The city of Corinth was in Greece, south of Athens, and it was a very, very corrupt city. It was a seaport village, and ships came from all over the world, the known world at that time. And there were pagan houses of worship for just about anything and everything. And the sexual immorality was rampant and whatnot. And for reasons that only God knows, Paul goes to Corinth to start a church. And he gets the church going there. And then he goes about his business on his missionary journey. He starts other churches. He finds out that as much as he got the Corinthians off on the right track with the gospel and how they should act, information comes to him that they are way off the beaten path and all kinds of crazy things are going there. So over the last few chapters in 1 Corinthians, he's been addressing specific things that are going on in Corinth, and they're more in the line of corrective kinds of things. And the last few chapters, he's been talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols. And the subject matter there was, we are, as followers of Christ, we are not constrained by the law and the rules about dietary things and whatnot. However, though we are not constrained by those rules, we ought to look at our behavior and how we behave in the culture and how that makes Christ and by extension God look. So he's been trying to make a distinction between our freedom in Christ and our responsibility in Christ to conduct ourselves in a certain way. So ironically, today we come to a section that is sometimes controversial. And of course, I thought about how I could skip this chapter, but decided a long time ago we're not going to do that. But it is Mother's Day, so I did just because I thought I'd put some cool pictures up there. These are the Hall of Fame of Mothers in the Bible. Sarah. Sarah was the mother of Isaac, and Isaac was the mother of the rest of the patriarchs. Rachel. Rachel was the mother of Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Bible? If Joseph hadn't gone down to Egypt, the nation of Israel would not have survived, but she was the mother of Joseph. Then we have Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth? Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, the very first person who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You think there's some influence of the mom there? Then, of course, Mary, the mother of Christ. Not only was she the mother of Jesus, but she followed and she supported him in his ministry and was there at the death, burial, and resurrection. And then Eunice. Does anybody know who Eunice was? If, just raise your hand. You don't have to answer. Now, when I see if this is this an important mother in the Bible? Eunice was the mother of Timothy. Timothy. Paul had mentored this young man, Timothy, and had taught him and raised him up as a pastor, and had remarked in Scripture that you were raised in the Scripture from a child by your mother. So Eunice taught this little kid, Timothy, who eventually became a sort of a right-hand person to Paul the Apostle. So mothers in the Bible have a super, super important role from beginning to end. And that's all the pictures I could fit on the slide, but we could go on and on and on. So moms are really, really important. So the subject that I'm calling this today, separate and equal. The "and" is very, very important because in 1 Corinthians, it's going to be starting off by talking about head coverings in church. Now, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, or if you're a Christian, if you've come to church, this whole issue of should you or shouldn't you wear head coverings to church, it's one of those things in the Bible that can get people all worked up and divide into camps and all that. So hopefully we're going to sort that out. The message today may seem on the surface at odds with how we view gender roles today. It speaks of a separation and an order of responsibility between God, Christ, man, and women. Now, some might not like the way this sounds. Some may say, well, that was only a cultural thing in Paul's day. We just have to be careful, however, when we look into Scripture about taking the Word of God in Scripture and reinterpreting it to fit our personal likes and dislikes. So hopefully, as with most of the controversial things that are in Scripture, if you understand the context of the message, there really is no controversy at all. So turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. While you're getting there, I'll continue. The core message is pretty simple. No soul is complete all by itself. Who was it that said, no man is an island? We are not designed as human beings to be on our own. The man is not complete apart from Christ, as a woman is not complete apart from man. And if you're going to shoot me on that one, just aim towards the legs or something. As God is the head of the nature of Jesus, now remember, on his human side, Jesus was fully human, but God was still the head of Jesus on his human side, so must Jesus be the head of man and man of woman. And we're going to explain what that means. But in each case, and here's the important takeaway point for this. The headship that we're talking about, this is the head of this, and this is the head of this, is not one of authority or dominance or of rule. But it's more of an impartation of resources. It's an organization of roles. That's all it is. And without which, we can't be the best we could be. So there's three things I want you to think about as we get through this. Number one, it's all about being like Jesus. Paul's gone through the last three, maybe four chapters emphasizing whatever he's talking about, that at the bottom of the well, it's all about being like Jesus. Paul says at one point, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And that's how we're going to start here. Number two, Paul is talking about conduct in public worship. This context of this letter is coaching the Corinthians how they're to conduct themselves in the world, and specifically in this case, public worship. And number third one, there are cultural realities in Corinth that do not necessarily apply to us today. But so we're going to go to Scripture now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as we go to the Bible that you would decide what it is that you want us to hear, and decide for us what we should learn, that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive the word with a open and willing spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's begin. We'll read our first two verses if this works. And it doesn't, so could we click once? There we go. Verse 1 through 3. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, Paul is not saying I'm on par with Christ. He's saying I imitate Jesus. So if you can't figure out what Jesus is like, if you're a little unclear on that, just imitate me, because everything that I do, I'm trying to imitate Christ. And he goes on to say, now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I deliver them to you. Well, I think he's being a little sarcastic there, because the letter to the Corinthians is all about them not keeping the things that he told them. But he has a gentle way of starting out. He says, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, no pitchforks and torches there. So let's dig into this a little bit. It would be great if we could just stop right there in the first part. Be imitators of me as I'm imitators of Christ, and I commend you because you remember me and everything. It'd be great if we could just stop there. But the Corinthians were guilty of man worship, putting loyalty to man in high places. As we began the book of Corinthians, there were factions. This person followed Paul, and this person followed Apollos, and this person followed somebody else. And he starts in that beginning of that chapter by saying you're never supposed to follow an individual man. You're not supposed to worship an individual man. You're not supposed to say, well, I'm an acolyte of Rick Warren. That's the pastor that I follow. There's only one pastor that you should follow, and that's Jesus. All the rest of us guys that do this, we work for him. So when you focus on a pastor, a man in the world, as opposed to his master, then you're missing the point. So we need to get into this. But Paul says you could follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Jesus Christ is our example. If I or Paul or anyone else does anything that's out of the character of Christ, then by all means, don't follow that example. God will never let you violate his character in order to do his will. The rest of this chapter is filled with hard to understand and controversial subjects, which I'm going to try to explain for you. But I think we need to keep verse 1 in context. Be imitators of me as I'm imitators of Christ. Everything should be done in keeping with the character of Jesus. Verse 3 up there, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband. Let's try to tease that out a little bit. Notice here that that Christ is over the man. This is where we begin. It's who do you follow as an example? Christ is over the man. If a woman is married to someone who is not in subjection to Christ, then she's under no obligation to submit to ungodly behavior. Chuck Smith is a pastor with the Calvary Chapel, folks. He says this, she must skip the missing link and be submissive to Christ. You don't have to be submissive to a husband who is not submissive to Christ. Do you understand? So the Bible is very clear that the Christ is the head of the man is the head of the woman, but the woman is not obligated to follow the man if the man is not following Christ. The Bible is very clear on this. But here's the catch. If the man is following Christ, then you are, just as we are to be imitators of Paul, we are to be imitators of the godly husband. And why? Because God organized things in a certain way so we know, like, who's in charge. But this isn't, like I said before, this isn't like a domination kind of thing, like, I'm the boss of you. The context here is about head covering. So let's get to that and see if we can get that out of the way. Let's hit the next slide there. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short.